Tanya for the 8th day of Teves is in Perek Ches, chapter 8 of Tanya, on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The number at the bottom of the page is 34. We're in the middle of the page, and the line begins, Yomov Kirabbeinu HaKodesh. Valdvorim Betelem Behete. Now concerning idle talk, when it is permissible, Kegain. When is idle talk permissible? It's when in indulging in the idle talk you are not violating the mitzvah of studying Torah at every free moment. So how is that? Kegain ami ha'ozet she'enei am ha'ozet she'enei yochel lumit. A person who is ignorant and doesn't know how to learn, can't learn, so he doesn't have the obligation to be learning, and he talks dvarim betelim. This has to be cleansed from the nefesh by a punishment in heaven that is called kafakela. Every punishment in Torah is a cleansing, a form of cleansing. And just as with various garments, when they get a blemish, when they get a fleck on them, there are various ways in which this particular fleck or this particular garment has to get cleaned. Some have to be cleaned through hot water, some through cold water, some through rubbing, and some through shaking, and so on. The dvarim betelim, the words, the idle words that cling to the soul, have to be shaken off. Not scrubbed off and not pounded off, but shaken off. And this shaking is called kafakela, where the soul is thrown back and forth, shaken back and forth, until the dvarim betelim are shaken loose. So that's if it's permissible talk. Aval diburim asudim, but if the speech is prohibited, kemei litzon zeloshen hazar ki yetzer bahem, as for example, scoffing and loshen hazar, which we learned earlier in Tanya, that they come from the totally dark klipa. Ein kafakela levadei mayil tahir lahavir tumosei mehanefesh. In that case, kafakela alone would not be sufficient to cleanse the neshama and to remove from it the unholiness. Zaktzicha leited legehenim. The soul also has to go down to Gehenim. So it needs two things. It needs Gehenim to cleanse it from the severe unholiness, and then it needs Kafakela to shake away the idle talk. In addition to that, anyone who could have been studying Teza and instead was involved, engaged in idle talk, Ein Kafakela levadei mayul nafshi lemarko lezachicho. Here, kafakela also doesn't help, is not enough for the soul to cleanse it and to purify it. We're talking here not about tshuva. Of course, if the person does tshuva, his tshuva is accepted. But we're talking here beyond the tshuva, to cleanse the soul of the blemish. And here it's important to mention that the Gemara says that if a person agrees to be married, a woman agrees to marry a man on the condition that he is a tzaddik, and we know for a fact that this particular man is a rasha, yet if they agree to be married with that condition, they are married. Because it is possible that at that moment the man thought to do tshuva, decided to become a Baal Tshuva, and when he decides to become a Baal Tshuva, he is no longer a sinner, he's now a tzaddik. Now what would be the case if the kind of sin that this man was guilty of until he decided to do tshuva were sins between himself and other people, concerning which the Gemara says that Yom Kippur doesn't help. Yom Kippur doesn't bring forgiveness for sins between Adam and Chavedi. He has to go and gain pardon, be forgiven from his friend. If he stole something, he has to give it back. So does this mean that if a person was guilty of stealing, and he now has somebody else's property in his house, and he hasn't returned it yet, he only thought that he is going to do tshuva, is he still a tzaddik, even though he hasn't given back what he stole? The Gemara makes no exceptions. The Gemara doesn't say that he is married if the kinds of sins he was guilty of is only between him and God. And if it was between Adam l'chaveze, he's also a tzaddik, even though he hasn't yet given it back. Because the personal status of the person when he does tshuva is independent of the blemishes or of the damage that he brought into the world. He has to fix that too. But in the meantime, he has fixed all the damage he has brought to himself. By nature, a Jew is devoted to God, exists only to serve God, and by having sinned, he broke away from that nature, he corrupted himself. When he does tshuva, he has regained his natural balance, he's regained his natural position, he is once again here to serve God. So he's a tzaddik. The fact that he left blemishes in the world, well, that has to be fixed. But that doesn't prevent him from attaining the status of a tzaddik. So the same thing here. When he says that the soul has to be cleansed and purified in Kafakela and in Gehenna, that doesn't mean that until such time, the person cannot be a tzaddik. It's two separate things. So the Rebbe says that for Dvorim B'Telem, when you could have been studying Torah, here also Kafakela, the shaking doesn't help. Zak Einshim Chamudim, but there are severe punishment, Shema Nishim al Bitul Teda B'Protus, which is a given for the sin of wasting time from the study of Torah. Milvad a Neshakloli l'chol Bitul Mitzvah. Besides the general punishment that comes for the failure to do any mitzvah, machmas atzlus, and that comes from laziness, and therefore the punishment is the Gehenim Shel Sheleg, because the punishment matches the sin. If the sin came from laziness, which means that he failed to do a mitzvah, then his punishment is in a Gehenim of coldness. Because laziness is an indifference, a coldness to the mitzvah. So because he showed a coldness to the mitzvah, his punishment is a Gehenim of coldness. If a person commits a sin, which means that he showed a warmth and an enthusiasm for things that were prohibited, his punishment is a Gehenim Shel Eish. Just like if a person burns himself, the cure is to wash the burn in hot water. And if a person is frostbitten, the solution is to rub his hands in snow. So in the same way, if a person sins with coldness, he's punished with coldness. That's what heals and corrects the sin. And if a person sins out of warmth, he's punished with warmth, and that's what fixes and corrects the damage that was caused by the warmth. So besides that, when it comes to the study of Torah, just as the reward for the study of Torah is greater than all other positive mitzvahs, the punishment for the failure to study Torah is also greater than all other mitzvahs. So in addition to the punishment that comes for the failure to do any mitzvah, there's a special punishment, a different punishment that comes for the failure to study Torah. K'mevur b'makim ma'achar, as all of this is explained elsewhere. Chayin, the same is true also for a person ha'esek b'chachmes u'mes ha'ilam b'chlal dvarim b'telim yechashiv. A person who is involved in the study of the sciences, non-Jewish subjects, this too is considered idle talk when he could have been studying Torah. Le'inyan oven bitul Torah, in reference to the sin of wasting time from Torah, the study of other subjects, of other knowledge, is considered wasting time. K'meshikosa b'luchos Talmud Torah, as is written in the laws of Talmud Torah. And another thing about the secular study, secular sciences, that you say the tumah social chachmas ha'umis, ev de gilulim was inserted for the sake of the censors. But it doesn't necessarily mean the study of idolatry. Any of the sciences, the tumah of that study is greater al tumas dvarim betelim, over the unholiness, over the tumah of idle talk. In other words, he's saying that the study of the sciences, when you could have been studying Torah, is considered wasting time from Torah. So it's considered idle talk. But in addition to that, it is worse than idle talk. How so? Because the tumah of idle talk does not involve, it does not clothe and therefore contaminate zak hamideis miyaseid haruach hakodesh shebenafshir halikis betumas klipas meiga shebedvarim betelim. When a person speaks idle talk, he indulges in idleness, he brings tumah, he brings corruption only to the emotions of the godly soul that come from the element of air. Because he introduces to the holiness of the godly soul an element of klipas noiga, which comes from idle talk. And idle talk comes from the element of air, which is evil, in the klipa, in the animal soul. So the element of air of the animal soul is contaminating or corrupting the element of air in the godly soul. Kidulil, as we learned earlier in the beginning of Tanya. But lei bechinas chabad shebenafshei, but in idle talk a person does not corrupt the chochma bina das of his soul, because it doesn't engage the seichel. Me'ach hashem divishtus ubuzis, since the idle talk is talk of foolishness and ignorance, shegam hasheitim v'amiyaret yichelum v'dabrikein, where even the fools, the simpletons, and the ignoramuses can speak these same things, which means that it doesn't involve any intelligence. So since it doesn't involve the intelligence, it also doesn't corrupt the intelligence. Mash'ein kem b'chochmas u'meseh de'yilulim. However, the study of the wisdom, the sciences of the nations, secular sciences, humal bishu metame, in doing that he clothes and therefore corrupts bechinas chabad shebenafshir olikis, he clothes this chachma bina das of his godly soul betumas klipas meiga shebechachmis elu. He drags the godly soul's intelligence into the intelligence of these sciences that come from klipa. Where does wisdom come to klipa? It fell into klipa as a result of the shviras hakelim, and it is the hind part, the fall off of the wisdom of kedusha, as is known to those who study Kabbalah. So the study of the sciences is more unholy, is unholier than idle talk, because the idle talk damages a coarser part of the neshama, whereas the study of the sciences corrupts a more sensitive part of the neshama. And the more sensitive the part, the more damaging is its corruption. There is an exception if a person studies the sciences in order to make a living. He's not studying it for their own sake. He's studying it in order to be able to use it as a livelihood. Then it is permissible, because it's not any worse than learning how to fix shoes, which is also to some degree a seichel. It involves the mind. And this means not only to make a living and be content with the money, it means that in order to support himself comfortably so that he can serve God, la ved Hashem, as a result of this comfort. So since he's using this to make himself comfortable, and he is comfortable in order to be able to serve God, so this study of the sciences becomes l'shem shamayim, and therefore it is not corrupting at all. Another possibility is sheyedeya l'shtamish behem la'avedas Hashem l'teidasi. Another way of studying the sciences in a holy fashion is when he studies it and knows how to use that information directly in the service of God. As for example, the Rambam studied mathematics and astronomy in order to be able to know the laws of Kiddush HaChedesh. So he's using it directly. It's not just that he's using it to make a living, and as a result of making a living, he'll be comfortable. And as a result of being comfortable, he'll be able to serve God. But he's using it directly in the service of God, because the information is necessary in his study of Torah. And this is the reason, or the motivation of the Rambam and the Ramban, the Siyaiton, and their equals or their colleagues, Sheosku Bahem, who engaged in the sciences. And the study of sciences, it wasn't only to make a living and serve God l'shem shamayim, but it was used directly in the study of Torah and in the service of God. In the Hayem Yom, for the eighth day of Teves, the Rebbe writes that the Tzemach Tzedek instructed the tutors, the children of his young, the teachers of his young grandchildren, that in addition to the regular studies, they should also teach the children the meaning of the siddur, of the davening. And once a month, the children would come to their grandfather, and he would test them, he would examine them to see how well they had learned the siddur.